Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Which tool you use is important. Tools are amazing helps, right? One of the interesting things about tools is there's all kinds of tools that are available to us, right? And one tool could be incredibly important for using one way, but incredibly useless to use in a different way. As I have been in Japan for many, many years, I have had the opportunity to collect all kinds of tools. If anybody's seen my storage shed, they know that it is packed with tools, right? And there are some tools that I use we use them for all kinds of projects, right? There's all kinds of projects we use them for. Some tools I use pretty consistently. Some tools I only use for specific occasions, for specific tasks, things that I need to do within the project, right? I need all my tools. I try to convince Bethany every time, I need every one of my tools. They are very important. Some tools don't get used as often as others, but they're still important. I need them because there will be a time when I wished I would have had that tool and it would make all the difference in the world. You know what I'm talking about? Well, this is kind of helpful. And I brought some tools. Like if we're doing a kind of wood project, I just got a piece of wood just to kind of explain the different tasks that we have within a project. You know, you use all kinds of tools to use for building stuff out of wood, right? For example, you could use a hammer. You could use a hammer to put in nails to connect one piece of wood to another. Critical. You have to have a hammer to do that. But sometimes I need to cut the piece of wood to the right dimension. And in order for me to do that, a hammer just doesn't do the job. You know what I'm saying? You try to cut a piece of wood with a hammer, it's going to mess it up really bad. For that, you need a saw. Right? You need a saw. A saw cuts a piece of wood really well. But if you ask this saw to hammer in a nail, it doesn't do the job very well because it wasn't designed for that. It wasn't made for that task in the project. Eventually, once the project is done, we need to make it look nice. And for that, you need a paintbrush, right? The paintbrush, you try to paint with a saw, it isn't going to turn out pretty. You try to paint with a hammer, it ain't going to do it. But a brush does a good job of it. Now, the brush can't cut. It wasn't designed to. A brush can't put in a nail. It wasn't designed for that. But what it was designed for, when it was used in the way that it was designed to be used, it does an amazing job. And this is exactly what Paul is getting ready to teach the Corinthian church family in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The right tool for the job. The right tool for the job. This is what we're going to look at. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is opening up the spiritual toolbox that the Corinthian church family has, and he's looking at all the different tools that they're using, and he says, I'm going to pick two of these tools out, and I'm going to show you how to use them in the right way. Sometimes, guys, you're not using your tools in the right way, so I need to remind you how to use these tools. And he uses these specific spiritual tools called the spiritual gifts, particularly two of those tools. One tool is the spiritual gift of prophecy, and the other tool is the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Now, we looked at this, remember, it was 2 weeks ago, right before Ozuno Sensei came, 2 weeks ago, we looked at these two specific tools. Remember, we did it to see how these tools were being used. Sometimes in order to understand the best way that the tool works is to see it actually being used. And we used, do I have it? Yep, I have it right here. We use this little tool. It's called a five-way, a multi-tool. Do you remember this tool? This tool is used for all different kinds of ways. One of them, I didn't bring a roller, but it was to roll, squeeze the paint out of a roller brush, right? So this tool is very important. And how we see these tools being used in practice helps us to see what the tools were designed for. And so we understand that these two specific tools, prophecy and speaking tongues, how they were used in the New Testament church to explain and understand how the instructions were made for it, right? First, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. We saw from people like Agabus. Agabus, who was in the Jerusalem church, who went to Antioch, and then went to Paul later, towards the end of Paul's ministry. And then we also looked at two prophets from Jerusalem, Judas and Silas. These two guys, we saw what they used and how they used prophecy to understand this tool as one that was used to deliver a direct message from God to lead, to warn, to help, or in some way encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. A direct message, a tool used to deliver a direct message from God to help your brothers and sisters. We also saw how people experienced the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. And both those who used the gift by speaking it and also those who received the gift by hearing it, right? We saw Peter who experienced both. One, he spoke it in Pentecost, where he spoke in tongues, and all kinds of people from all over the world, all kinds of Jews from all over the world, heard him and those around him glorify and magnify God in their own language. And it was an amazing thing to see. Lots of people trusted Christ because of that event. But then we also heard Peter hear other people speak in tongues, like people like Nicodemus and his household. And from there, he heard them glorifying God. It's like, man, this is just the same as it was for us. And so we understand the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues as the supernatural ability to speak in a language that had not been learned previously by the speaker to declare or to magnify the glory of God. Those who heard tongues being spoken understood what was being said as being things that glorified and magnified God. Now, there are other ways in which these faithful Christians understand what these spiritual gifts look like, but for today, we are going to look at this chapter based on what we saw that was the last week, where they looked like exactly like they were being used in the New Testament. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, in order for us to understand this passage, we got to remember that we're reading a letter, right? We're not just taking chunks and chunks and isolating them from everybody else. We're reading the whole letter all the way through. And Paul had just talked about all the differences of the spiritual gifts. He's been talking about spiritual gifts this whole time. How God gives us spiritual gifts. He gives spiritual gifts to each Christian. And he to love and to serve others, brothers and sisters. And he gives them according to his will to build one another up. So, because of these spiritual gifts, this is really interesting. God designed our church body and every church body so that everyone needs everyone else. You need everyone else because of the spiritual gifts that they have to give to build up you through the tools that they have, but also you are needed by everyone else because of the spiritual gifts that God gave you. We all need each other. We are the body of Christ, the hand, the eye, the foot, the ear. Remember, all of that flows into this whole conversation. The main focus was not on the spiritual gifts themselves, but rather on what the spiritual gifts are designed to produce. Love. It's not about the tools, it's about the project. Not about the tools, it's about the project. And this is what we have been reminded. If the spiritual gift does not produce love, it is not worth anything. If it doesn't build up, it is not helpful. And now we see how Paul illustrates this to the Corinthian church family. Here is this group of believers in Greece. They're studying the Bible and everything, and they've got all these spiritual gifts that God had blessed them with. And Paul says, okay, guys, listen, I need you to focus up here. I need you to pay attention to how you're supposed to use these gifts. I'm going to use these two spiritual gifts, and let's talk about it in your life. And this is what we see in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this. Follow after charity. Pursue love. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and pursue spiritual gifts so you can deliver that love, so you can pursue love. But rather that ye may prophesy. But rather that ye may prophesy. Paul tells them to focus on pursuing prophecy versus speaking in tongues. Verse 2, he tells them why. Focus on prophecy. Why? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Why? For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He's saying this. Listen, speaking in tongues is speaking in mysteries. You're revealing the mysteries of God. They're important truths. But if no man understands you, you are speaking to God because he's the only one who can hear, who can receive the message that is being displayed. He doesn't speak to men, but unto God. This is the whole flow of the rest of this chapter. The whole flow of this is, who are you speaking to, and is your message being communicated? Because if it's not being communicated, it doesn't do the job it was designed to do. It's like trying to cut a piece of wood with a hammer or trying to nail a board with a saw. That's not what the tool was designed for. Paul is saying, pursue prophecy. Why? Because the one who speaks in a tongue or a different language does not speak to men, but to God. Why? Because nobody understands him. Now, compare the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues to the spiritual gift of prophesying. Verse 3 says this. But he that prophesieth, he that speaks the mysteries of God, he that reveals God and tells somebody and communicates that message from God to a person for edifying, for building up, for comforting, and for challenging them. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. This word is a fancy word that simply means to build up, to build up. When you prophesy, you're speaking to men to build them up and also to exhort them. Come on, guys, you can do this. Let's do this. Let's follow after Jesus. And also in difficult times to comfort. See, the prophesying helps people to understand, to be built up, to be challenged, to be exhorted, and also to be comforted. And all of these things work because those who hear the words understand the message. Love has been delivered, and that's the goal. Love has been delivered. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. If you speak in an unknown tongue, the only one who understands what you are saying, like if I start speaking in a different tongue, the only one who understands what I'm saying is me and God. It doesn't edify, it's used, it's a tool that is used in the wrong place. But he that prophesieth edifieth, builds up the church. Paul is focusing on that, building up the church. And this is why Paul sees prophecy as the better tool for the church family. That's why he says, hey guys, pursuing tongues is awesome, but I want you to pursue prophecy more because that's more helpful to you. This is the whole purpose for which the spiritual gifts have been given. This is the project that God wants us to work on, is this project of building up the church, and you do that by delivering love. Verse 5. This is interesting. I would You all speak with tongues. Man, tongues is an awesome gift. Speaking in tongues is an amazing gift. It's a really helpful tool. It's a good tool. Don't throw it away. It's a really helpful tool. I wish you had it, but rather that you prophesied. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he which speaketh in tongues, for one exception, except he interpret. Except that message gets interpreted so that people can understand. Why? That the church may receive edifying. Paul constantly focuses in on that word, doesn't he? Edifying, so that the church can be edified. He's reminding the Corinthian church, it's about building one another up. Use these tools to build up. And he says, look, if you prophesy, you do that. But if you speak in tongues, it's really hard to do that unless somebody interprets this message that you have from God to deliver to the people. If they don't understand it, it just doesn't help. Right? This is true for even Paul himself. Like, he isn't saying, listen, guys, you guys do this, I'll just do what I want to, but you guys do this. No, he applies this rule even to himself. He says this in verse 6. Now, brethren, guys, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what good am I to you? What shall I profit you? The only way I'm going to profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. These are the tools that are going to help you. And so these are the tools that I'm going to use to build you up. Tongues is helpful, but not in this case. This is where Paul is pointing to the building up. If there's not somebody to interpret what's being said to the church to help them understand, it's better to prophesy. Isn't it interesting the importance of being able to hear and understand what's being said? To hear and understand what's being said so that it's helpful. Paul takes a little pause here and applies this truth to music. You like music? I love music. I love listening to music. Even just the flow of the song, just hearing the flow of the song is amazing and it's very helpful. And Paul applies the song aspect in verse 7. How we hear music is the same way. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp. Here's two musical instruments. A pipe. A wind instrument. I don't know if it's this way or this way. I don't know. Maybe it's like this, you know, like a, I don't know what. So a pipe and a harp, a stringed instrument, some kind of like a guitar or a ukulele or a harp or whatever, right? Instruments that were designed to make music, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? Here's two instruments that are used to make music. And think about what draws you to music. What makes this music? What makes music something that draws you to it or maybe even pulls you away from it? What draws us to the music is the up and down flow of the melody and the way the harmony blends with that melody and the way the rhythm of the music interacts with the melody and the harmony. Music is not random. Music is not random. It delivers a message even without words, right? There's emotions that come out of the music. There's emotions that are being displayed. And when the songwriter writes the music and when the song player plays the music, he's delivering the flow, the emotions of the music. Sometimes the music is full of joy. Sometimes the music is full of sorrow. All kinds of expressions are delivered through the music. But without the specific flow of those sounds, the message cannot be understood. If I got my guitar and started just playing random strings out of nowhere that had no rhythm, no rhyme, no connection, no flow to it, you would probably beg me to stop after 5 seconds, maybe even three. Right? Steve, just cut that out. But if somebody comes and starts playing beautiful music that flows and that you can sense the rhythm and the meaning coming out of it, and you receive the message that the music delivers, then it's helpful, then it's good. It allows us to understand it, and it allows us to respond to the music. Right? Verse 8, Paul uses music, sounds, in another way. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Think about how the trumpet was used during a battle. During a battle. One melody, one short melody, a blast would let everybody know to attack. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what kind of, that's like the first song that comes into my head. Dun, 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 charge, you know, right? And then everybody goes, ah! And then they go attack the people, right? But then once they realize that they're outnumbered, and then the commander tells everybody else to retreat, you know? And dun, 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 you know, that's the end. Dun, 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 dun. That's Mario, sorry, wrong one. But you know, there's like all these different, there's the tune that tells people to attack. They hear that and they respond to it by doing what the command is behind the tone. They retreat by doing what the command is behind the tone. You know, we do that here. We do that here. If you go shopping anywhere in Japan, 10 minutes before closing, music could be playing the whole time in the store. The whole time music is playing in the store. And then when one song gets played, suddenly people start to hurry up with their grocery shopping. They start putting the things in their basket and they start heading to the register. The one song, Auld Lang Syne. Dun, 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 dun. That means the store is closing. You have 10 minutes. We're politely telling you to get yourself going. Move over to the register. Go home, because we want to go home too, right? It's the closing song. Even when kids go out playing outside at the park, there's one song, one tune that is played all across, I guess all across Japan. When that tune gets played, all the kids immediately stop playing and head home. We've had kids, when Asha's been playing at the house, as they've been playing and they've been having fun, as soon as that song plays, like, Asha, bye-bye, matane, you know, this, they're like, they know right away, it's time to go home. The music delivers the message, the people who hear the message understand it, and they respond to the message, right? Verse 9. So likewise ye, you guys too, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Here's Paul's point. If the words you say don't make sense, it's like speaking into the air. Here's Paul's reasoning behind why in the Corinthian church family's case, when they're gathering, it's better to use prophecy to build one another up than the gift of spiritual tongues, because that's not what it was designed for. You're using something, you're using the saw when you should be using a hammer to build up one another. Kind of think about Ben when he was first starting language school. I remember him talking, and even he's experienced this with other new, brand new students that come into language school. They don't know a lick of Japanese, right? The teacher talks to the student. The teacher talks to Ben, and the teacher is saying things that are more than likely very valuable to Ben. These are really good things, very important things, things that are helpful to Ben, right? It could have been explaining something about how to learn Japanese. It could have been words of encouragement. Ben, you can do it. We believe in you. Don't give up. Keep on doing it. But for Ben, it didn't help him at all because he couldn't understand it. Verse 10, verse 11 is very helpful. It helps us to see this. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. When we speak, there's always meaning. There's none without meaning. When somebody speaks, whatever language they use, there's always meaning behind it, right? But verse 11, Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, if the person who is talking to me, if I don't understand what the person is saying, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, a foreigner. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian, a foreigner to me. It's like the Ben sitting in front of the teacher, and the teacher's telling him important, valuable, incredibly useful things, things that are good, things that are encouraging. And yet all Ben can do is just look. I don't know how to respond. What am I supposed to do with these things that you're saying to me? Because I can't get it. You're like, it's like a foreigner talking to another foreigner. And it doesn't make any sense. If the words I say are literally the deep and amazing mysteries of God being revealed, think of the most important message that could be spoken in life. The deep, important mysteries of God's truths being revealed. But if the words are not understood and received by the person being spoken to, the words become meaningless. Meaningless. And this is Paul's admonition, verse 12. This is how he wraps it up, at least this part of this letter. Even so ye, the same is true for you guys too, Corinthian church. For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Look, guys. You're focusing on spiritual gifts, and that's a great thing, but it's just like trying to find all kinds of amazing tools, but never using those tools in the way that they were designed to be used. It's good to pursue these tools. Don't stop, but remember that the tools aren't the main thing. The project is the main thing. Delivering love, building up one another. In the case of prophecy versus tongues, prophecy is better because prophecy, you can hear it, understand it, and that communication understanding, that's what builds you up. The gift of tongues, if it's not understood, it doesn't help. And so, Paul reminds the church, don't make it about the tool, make it about the project. And this is true for us too. Whatever spiritual gift God gives you, whether it's teaching, whether it's giving to help brothers and sisters, whether it's evangelism, telling others about Jesus, the gift of helping others, the gift of encouragement, all kinds of gifts, regardless of what spiritual gift God gives you, remember, pursue them. But remember that they are tools that God gives you to build up the church. Ask God to help you to grow in using these tools. Ask God to help you to use them in the way they were designed. The easiest way to do that, the easiest way to do that is to focus on the one on whom the tool is being used. Don't think about the tool as much as you're thinking about the person for whom the tool is being used. Focus on them. Focus on the one receiving the effects of the tool. Focus on loving them through how you use the tool. When you use the tool, think about the one God lets you have a part in building up. Ask God to help you to do that well so that they can grow in their love for God and in their love for those around them, just like God is helping you to grow in your love for others through the tools God gives you. That is the focus of the tool. Use it in the way it was designed, the right tool for the job. Let's pray. Father, this is an important thing for us to understand. One, The tools weren't made to just sit in the work in the woodshed, in the storage shed. They were made to be used. So we need you to help us to learn to use these tools better. We need you to help us, Holy Spirit, to be able to use these tools in the way that they were designed, so that through these spiritual gifts that you give to us to build up the body, that one, we're able to use them, to recognize what they are, and to be able to use them in our lives, but also to use them in the right way, so that we can love our brothers and sisters through these tools, to love them, to serve them, to encourage, to comfort, to challenge them. And in so doing, our brothers and sisters are built up. They grow stronger in their love for you. They grow stronger in their walk with Jesus. They become more faithful in following Him, just as we do as we use these tools. Help us to use these tools in the right way, please. In Jesus' name, amen.